Dr. Ali Brooks has lived in Florence his entire life and has given himself to our city and our community. We know him as an educator and an administrator. At the age of 28, he became the youngest person ever in the history of South Carolina to be assigned to be a principal over a public school in our state. That was Wilson High School here in Florence. You know your audience, Dr. Brooks, this morning. He served as principal of Wilson here for over 30 years. Thousands and thousands and thousands of young boys and girls grew up under his watch. And I've heard hundreds of testimonies privately over many years of how this man has influenced your life. God has used him in the arena of education in a very powerful way. His light shines brightly. God put him where he's been for his life's work because there needed to be some salt that would bring flavor and seasoning where there was none, and there needed to be some light in a dark place there. While he was walking down the hall here this morning with me, one of his former students shook his hand and said, "The only time I was ever suspended, you suspended me." And he was grateful. No telling how many tens of thousands of people have graduated public schools here in our city that Dr. Brooks presided over their commencement. A few years ago, Francis Marion University awarded him their highest honor, gave him an honorary doctorate degree. That's the equivalent of a lifetime achievement award. And they did so because of the tremendous contribution this man has made in our city and beyond. We know him as a brother in the Lord. Make welcome Dr. Ali Brooks as he comes this morning.
There you go. You all right with it? Thank you. Good morning. You see, I've started things off in a bang. Can't even keep the mic on. Let us pray. Please join hands with your neighbor. Our Father, we, the members of your family, have come this morning not for a funeral service, but for a resurrection. Thank you for allowing us to serve a risen and living Savior. We thank you for this opportunity to worship together here at Abundant Life. We thank you for this pastor and his wife, officers, members, and friends and visitors here this morning on this Resurrection Sunday. Thank you for walking on this earth in human flesh. You suffered ridicule, physical and verbal abuse. You were spat upon. You hung and died on the cross and bled. But on the third day, you arose like a mighty God. And for that, we thank you. And we give you the honor and the glory. In thy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. To Pastor Morris, Mrs. Morris, to the officers, members, and friends here at Abundant Life, I thank you for this opportunity. It is indeed an opportunity because he's right. I don't know many ministers that would give up their pulpit on Sunday morning and not preach, because on this day, we know that there are a lot of CMEs in attendance at church. CMEs, Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. But I know that's not true here at Abundant Life. You'll see them here next Sunday, Pastor. This is a significant time. And, you know, I know that there are a lot of big meals planned. And there are no fat people in Abundant Life. There are no fat people. There are just some, like in my family, we are just nutritionally enhanced. I'm so glad to see some of them, Dr. and Mrs. Young. I understand they came all the way from Charleston. I see my wife and I, best friends in the audience. I see my classmates, some of my students. And one of the members here, Pastor Morris, I was at a certain doctor's office the other day. And I was in the receptionist's office, and this lady out of nowhere came up to me, and she said, "I'm going to be seated on the front row with my husband on Sunday morning to listen to you." I said, "Uh-oh." But we're glad to be here with you. And speaking of waking up, the seven ages of man involve the age of 20 being the age when a man wants to wake up romantic. 30, he wants to wake up married. 40, he wants to wake up successful. 50, he wants to wake up rich. 60, he wants to wake up contented. 70, he wants to wake up healthy. 80, you just want to wake up. Now, I love hymns, and I love the music this morning and the music ministry. You always have excellent music here. And this church is located by highway, and so I want to share with you some hymns. For example, in the profession of dentistry, the dentist hymn is "Crown Him with Many Crowns." The weatherman's hymn is "There Shall Be Showers of Blessing." The contractor's hymn is "The Church Is One Foundation." The tailor's hymn is "Holy, Holy, Holy." The golfer's hymn is "There Is a Green Hill Far Away." The politician's hymn is "Standing on the Promises." The optometrist's hymn is "Open My Eyes That I Might See." Now we are in the tax season, so the IRS agent's hymn is "I Surrender All." The gossip's hymn is "Pass It On." The electrician's hymn is "Send the Light." And the shopper's hymn, this my wife loves this, because you ladies, they all call shopping fun. I'll give you all the money to go, just don't take me. But the shopper's hymn is "Sweet By and By." Now, for those of us who like to speed on the highway, I have a few hymns for you. 45 miles an hour, God will take care of you. 55 miles an hour, guide me, O thou great Jehovah. 65 miles an hour, nearer my God to thee. 75 miles an hour, nearer, still nearer. 85 miles an hour, this world is not my home. 95 miles an hour, Lord, I'm coming home. And over 100 miles an hour, precious memories. Now, some churches have had some actual mistakes on their bulletins, so I just want to share a few of those with you before I get into the message this morning. First of all, this one message says, "Don't let worry kill you. Let the church help." Thursday night is potluck supper. prayer and medication to follow. Remember in prayer the many who are sick of our church and community. This being Easter Sunday, we will ask Mrs. Lewis to come forward and lay an egg on the altar. Moving right along. The service will close with little drops of water. One of the ladies will start quietly, and the rest of the congregation will join in. The ladies of the church have cast off clothing of every kind. They can be seen in the church basement Saturday. A bean supper will be held Tuesday evening in the church hall. Music will follow. Next Sunday, Mrs. Vinson will be the soloist for the morning service. The pastor will then speak on the subject, "It's a Terrible Experience." Weight Watchers will meet at 7 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church. Please use the large double door at the side entrance. And the last one I'll share with you, at the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, "What is Hell?" Come early and listen to our choir practice. Not talking about abundant life. Not talking about abundant life. I want to share with you some historical biblical highlights. And I'm doing this basically for our young people because this morning is the highlight of our worship, our service. And so if we would put that up on the screen, the historical biblical highlights of the journey of Christ, the great themes, and for those of you who may not be able to read it, I'm going to go through it right quickly. First, the birth of Christ and the biblical references for that. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18, and start at verse 18 and go to chapter 2 and stop at verse 23. Also, Luke 1, 26 to Luke 2, verse 40. Then we have the triumphal entry in Luke 19, verses 28 to 44. The Last Supper, Mark 14, verses 12 through 26. The experience in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26, verses 36 through 46. The betrayal of Jesus, Matthew 26, verses 47 through 56. And as a lesson, young people, I want you to know, see, Jesus knew everything. And as he sat down and supped, he said, "One of you going to betray me." And I want you all to know, everybody grinning in your face is not your friend. And conversely, everybody that doesn't look like you, doesn't grin in your face, but tells you the truth is not your enemy. As a matter of fact, the book says the wounds of a friend are wounds that we should welcome. Then we have the arrest and trial of Jesus, falsely accused. But, and you look at the character of Christ, it's another thing for you to be in the company of people who just got a pick at you, you know, want to crack you and you want to say anything. So take a lesson from the Lord. You don't have to answer people, especially when they're talking in a negative way. You don't have to answer them. You just look at them and just pray for them. And then after they say what they got to say, you tell them, "You have a blessed day too. And go on about your business." When we have the death of Christ in Luke 23, verses 26 through 56, John 19, verses 16 through 42, and then our reason for assembling today, the resurrection of Christ, the 24th chapter of Luke and the 20th chapter of the book of John. I've entitled our little talk this morning, Lessons to be Learned from the Resurrection. Lessons to be learned from the resurrection. We have sung about the historical events that happened in the life of Christ so beautifully this morning. And Pastor has prayed, and other members of the church have prayed, and you have prayed. This is Easter Sunday 2016, and this is the day that commemorates the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14, the Apostle Paul tells us that without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our preaching is in vain, worthless, and our faith is in vain. Now, we celebrate the birth of Jesus in December. But we are where we are right now, and we have the faith that we have right now because he died and he rose again. The apostle tells us in Romans 1:4 that the resurrection of Jesus is a powerful declaration that Jesus is the Son of God. Belief in the resurrection is foundational to Christianity. And if we do away with the resurrection, we have nothing to believe. So the question or questions that we raise this morning are these. Number one, what difference does the resurrection make in my life? That's a personal question. What difference does it make? And another one is, what impact has the resurrection made on my mind, on my attitude, and on my lifestyle? Those two questions. So please allow me to share with you some ideas about how the resurrection can apply to our daily living. First of all, despair. That's the loss of hope and of confidence. And because we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, hopelessness is never an option for Christians. No matter what our situation is this morning, we should have the confidence and assurance to know that God is able. No matter what the circumstances are, in our home, personally, on our job, and I want to say to you also, folk, quit worrying about stuff you don't have no control over. You live longer. Don't worry about stuff you don't have any control over. Some people complain about the weather. It's raining. I can't get my hair wet. It's Easter Sunday. Well, do you control the weather? So quit worrying about that. Just get your umbrella and your rain hat and as the old folks say in the old days, goloshes and go on out to church and worship. And quit worrying about how you look. No matter of hopelessness should ever enter our hearts or minds. A sermon was once preached and entitled, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." And Sunday is here now. And so the point is, no matter how bleak or how bad it looked on that first Good Friday, the events of the following Sunday made all the difference in the disciples' life. And so it must be true with us. No matter what our circumstances, no matter what's happening in America, no matter what's happening in the world, no matter what's happening in our city, our state, in our home, you ought to have the blessed assurance to know that God is in control. He's in control now. He might not look like it, but we can't control his time. We're on his time, not our time. So the resurrection demonstrates to us that no matter how bad things might look right now, God has the power to change us and to change our circumstances. God remains in control as we look to him, and we can be assured that he will arrange an outcome according to his plan. Paul tells us in Romans 8:28, that we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. We need to read that carefully now. Not our purpose, but His purpose. But a few verses later in that same chapter, Romans 8, 38 through 39, he assures us of God's love for us. Well, he said, I am persuaded. In other words, I'm sure, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, if we believe that, there's no reason we'll walk around your head hung. There are things that affect us in life. You know, death brings about pain. Death brings about a major adjustment for any of us in life. And we have that in our community. And some of us have it in our families recently. And those of us who haven't experienced it yet, you just keep on living. It will come. But because of God's power and love, we should never lose hope or confidence. That's why we can sing the hymn like my friend in the audience, his favorite hymn is, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest lane or wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand." We can also sing, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall." And we can also sing the hymn, "Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah." Now we also can sing some other hymns too. But we're going to move on to point number two as to what we learned from the resurrection. And that is, sin can be overcome. One of the best short descriptions of what Jesus accomplished on the cross is found in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. Jesus took our sins and gave us righteousness. The resurrection proves that Jesus has the power to accomplish this. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17, that if Christ has not raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. But the converse is that if Jesus has been raised, then we can be freed from our sins. Ultimately, sin will be overcome when Jesus returns, but until then, we should never think that God is not working. That we should never think that there is any sin that the cross and resurrection cannot overcome. You name the sin, and God can take care of it, and will take care of it. Third point for a lesson to be learned, that renewal is available. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 21 through 22, tells us that in Christ shall all be made alive. Not only can our sins be removed, but we can be renewed in our thinking and in our behavior if we are in Christ. If we are in Christ. The resurrection demonstrates the power of God to bring renewal. In Christ, we have the power available to become what God intended us to be. We should always remember this and be unrelentingly seeking from God this renewal. If you don't believe it, look at Romans 12. 1 verses 1 and 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You be a Christian, but being a Christian doesn't mean you're perfect. It means that you are committed to the commandments and the teachings of Jesus Christ. So I want to tell you young people particularly, and I want to tell us aged people also, that it does make a difference how we walk. We can't be parents and wanting to be our child's buddy. We got to be mama and daddy. And you can't be worried about whether or not your child going to get mad with you because you make a decision that you know is in their best interest. Being a parent is not a popularity contest. And you don't believe it, read the book. It tells you that. See, I was raised up in a neighborhood, some of you in here too. In our house was the police, DSS, and any other agency you want to know about. Because when mama and daddy spoke, you better listen. Son, if you're not in that yard, before the sun go down, something going to happen to you. And in our neighborhood, what happened to us, when they put the Board of Education on the seat of knowledge, our whole neighborhood heard our baccalaureate address. Now, that's true today. It's not being popular. You mean worrying about what people think about you. You worry about what God thinks about you. You're going around here, you're going from pillar to post. Whichever way the wind blow, you only follow people. You don't be following people. If I were you, they are not you. And if you were in Christ, if they were you, they would do the same thing that you're doing. Well, we'll move on. It is important how you dress. It's important, young people. It's important, parents, that we dress our children in a godly manner. Now, I'm telling you right now, I don't know, I know where, you better stop watching these prisons, because that's where these sagging pants come from. That's where it came from, because they don't have any belts to hold them up. But it just irks me when I drive down the street, I see grown young men walking down the street flashing underwear. There's a reason why it's called underwear. That means it's not to be seen. And mama and daddy and grandmama, you don't let them come out of the house dressed like that. And I was at Wilson as principal. I told him, you're not going to do that here. You're not going to wear your hat on your head and everything. And I had a parent come up to me in my office one day and said, well, I thought you were concerned about what's in their head and not what's on their head. I said, ma'am, let me tell you something. If your son goes downtown and apply for a job at one of these banks, they're not going to get it because of what's on his head. Because of what's on his head and how he or she is dressed, that is what they will never find out in terms of what they know. It does make a difference. First impressions are very, very important. Young ladies, dress like ladies. When you got more showing out than you covering up, I'm going to tell you something now. I'm going to say it. You ain't got to worry about that. I'm going to say it. I'm going to tell you. If they don't invite me back here no more, I'm going to say it. I want you to know that you don't have to try to impress no boy. You know I had a visual right there. But you know what I'm talking about. That's what's revealed a lot. And more, all these tattoos. You can't help but look at a person's body. They got them all over. And I won't point out where they are, but you know where they are. But I want to tell you, young ladies, when I started to tell you, you ladies have the beauty shop. Men have the barber shop. And I'm going to tell you, men gossip too. When you don't have any respect for yourself, Don't you think they're not going to talk about you now? They will tell you they love you to get what they want, but they won't walk. They're not going to watch you come down that aisle and say, "I do." I'm going to tell you, a man worth his salt is going to respect a lady who respects herself. Keep your hands to yourself. All of this is in Christ. You can have fun. I love that Toyota commercial that's on TV now. And they talk about having a backup mirror and this young boy and girl on the porch. And they about to kiss and the daddy honked the horn. Ba-ba! Y'all see that commercial? I just love it. I fall out laughing every time I see it. I love it. And I'm going to use that for my daughter. I want her to know that, too. She's here. That's right. I want her to know. Every man that finds you, you don't need to find them. You keep your standards high. It does matter how we walk in life. Renewal in Christ. And the final point I want to bring to you is that the grave is not our final destination. In John 14, 1 through 3, Jesus tells the disciples that he is going to prepare a place for them and that I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. You know the story. This is true for all believers. The resurrection proves that Jesus has the power to live up to his claim. We should always live with the knowledge that this life is not all there is and that any struggles now will be forgotten in the glory that is to come. That when we go to funerals now, that's why you hear the song, a hymn being sung, God will take care of you. What a friend we have in Jesus. You know, it hurts when we lose a family member. It hurts when we lose a friend. But because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we know that we are not attending an event of finality at the gravesite. We know that there is life on the other side, and consequently, we live accordingly. So, again, in summary, what are the lessons that we can learn from the resurrection? First of all, remember, don't despair. No loss of hope. No matter how dim things look, if you got more bills than you have money, you just pray. And, you know, the Lord will make a way. He will make a way. I know there's somebody in here know about that. I know about that. He'll make a way. No despair. It's just for a moment. It's not going to be like this always. You have trouble with family members, children who won't obey, husbands and wives who won't obey. You have trouble on your job. You don't have any control over other people. The only person you can control is yourself. So you walk in a godly manner. That's the best sermon in the world. I can wear crosses as big as this podium right here. And then I'm driving down the street, and you see me shooting a bird at somebody. What does that say? I see so many so-called Christians. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And when I get to the light up there by Walmart, or when I get in the parking lot at Walmart, they're cussing out their grandchildren getting in the car. Get your so-and-so in the car. I think, isn't that brother and sister so-and-so with that cross around their neck? How we walk. And don't fool yourself. Children know real. They're about real. Now, you can't fool them. And you think you could fool them. And I'm going to tell you, you tell your friends who think they can go anywhere in Florence or surrounding areas and think nobody see them. They're fooling themselves. Wait till 2 o'clock in the morning if you want them. But somebody got their shades drawn. I reminded of a story. A lady's husband died. My friend told me this. And she said, nobody's going to live in this house but me and Jesus. Nobody but me and Jesus. The house caught fire one night, early morning. So she went to the door and raised the window, saw a man running out of the house. She said, oh, look at Jesus running down the street. I'm going to hurry up and sit down, Pastor. I'm here. Don't lose confidence. Number two, sin can be overcome. Okay? We all sin. Okay? And fallen short. Okay? And we want to know that we ask for God's forgiveness. Pray in the morning, pray in the noonday, and pray at night, asking God for forgiveness. Third, renewal is available. We're not perfect. We're not perfect. But we can know that the Lord is going to be with us, particularly when we know that we are with a sincere heart. And last but not least, the grave is not the final destination. That's why we're here this morning. We're here to rejoice. Yes. Rejoice ye pure in heart. And we're also here because he lives. And I want to ask Mr. Lawrence Tunin to come up here and help me. And I want all y'all to stand up. And we're going to sing, because he lives. I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future. And like the word, all right, verse number one is God sent his son. So y'all join me now. And if I don't carry the tune right, y'all gonna help me here. All right? All right. Verse one. God sent everybody's son. That's right. Let me hear you. Let me hear you. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and died to bar my pardon. And empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Uplifted voices, everybody on the door. Doing it in here this morning. A newborn baby and feel the pride and joy again. But greater still, the calm assurance uncertain days, because Christ lives. Everybody on the chorus. Because he lives, what can you do? What will you do? That's correct. All right. Because he lives. sound good. Go ahead, wake them up out here. I'll cross that river, the sunset of life. The Alpha lies fine. No war with pain. And then as death gives way. What we're going to do. I'll see the light of glory and I know he lives. Everybody on the chorus, here we go. Because he lives. What we can do. I can pay tomorrow. Why? Because he lives. No time for hopelessness.
He's alive. Thank you, Dr. Brooks, for an unforgettable, life-changing word. Bow your heads while you remain standing just for a moment. Let this word settle like a seed planted in good ground. There are four kinds of people who walked in here today. The first, those who had no hope. The word of God addressed you. Hopelessness is not an option for a Christian. Some walked in here today in the bondage of sin. We all know what that is like. But the good news for you, if that's you today, is sin can be overcome. Some of you have been walking with the Lord quite some time now, and as is the case often, it's easy to lose your first love. The spark is gone. And the word to you, if that's you this morning, is renewal is available. It's a part of the resurrection message this morning. And then some came in here today with a fear of death. And the Bible says those who are afraid of death live their entire lifetime in bondage. But the word to you is grave. The grave is not our final destination. It wasn't for our Lord, neither shall it be for us. Father, thank you for this word that reminds us of so many benefits that come with salvation. We speak a blessing over Dr. Brooks and over his life's work. You are nowhere near finished with this man yet. And we honor him and the gift, which is a treasure in an earthen vessel that's with us this morning. And every one of us who have our faith working this morning, or we would not be in an Easter Sunday morning. At some level, every one of us has our faith working. And so we will take one step closer to you today. While your heads are still bowed, I believe that's the word I will give you this morning. You know, so many times on Sundays and Easter Sundays as well, it's traditional for an invitation to be given for those who are not sure you're a child of God, not sure you're born again, to come forward and make a public confession of your faith. I just want to say two things about that. Number one is your faith is already working or you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't have been able to sit through this service if the measure of faith did not already belong to you. So work with that. And then the second thing I will say about that is, this is the word all of us can receive. The Bible says that if we take a step toward God, He will take a step toward us. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. So regardless of where you are right now in your spiritual development, all of us can take one step closer. This will be a great day for each of us individually if we all agree to take one step closer to God. Father, thank you for our time together, for our opportunity to worship you together like this, and to hear a word from heaven that will change our life. We worship you because you're the best father to your children, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I'll tell you what, if you'll give 5 more minutes to an Easter Sunday morning service and be seated, something very special. Lakeisha Williams is coming to close our service on Easter Sunday. Again, let me say to all of you, what a great crowd you are. Dr. Brooks, I learned some things about this church as you were speaking. First of all, I didn't think they could take some really straight talk and some hard preaching that we need. I've sort of been afraid to push the envelope. I didn't know they were tough enough to take it. You did it today, and they survived it. I'm proud of my church and you. Another thing, I didn't know. I mean, I've known this brother for 40 plus years. I was at West Florence when he was the assistant principal there. I didn't know you could sing. My, we may have you back for a concert next time. Once again, didn't you enjoy Dr. Allie Brooks? Thank you for being with us. Remain seated as Lakeisha Williams comes.
Anointing.
for worshiping an abundant life on Resurrection Sunday. Go in this same power and have a great week. God bless you. I can see you.